From last winter's MBTA meltdown to the state's opioid epidemic, it's been quite a first year in office for Republican Governor Charlie Baker, who, despite the problems, has approval ratings that by some accounts are the highest of any sitting governor in the country. We sat down with Baker yesterday to talk about the past year in a room at the State House that he calls his working office, a space full of family photos and personal memorabilia. We began the conversation by asking about his popularity. A year ago, if anyone had predicted that you would be this popular in office when you took
including
over.
Me. Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I really don't know. What I speculate based on what I hear when I'm just out and about is that people appreciate the fact that we said we were going to build a bipartisan administration, and we did. We're just trying to do the work and focus on that.
Let's talk about some of those issues, but let's start first with the Mass Taxpayers Foundation report that says that the state might be facing a $1 billion deficit. And it's not unusual for the state to face a deficit, but the MTF, the foundation, says that this year may be unusual because the state may not have access to the one-time revenue sources that it had in the past. Are you concerned about that? And what are you thinking?
Well, last year the budget started with about a $1.8 billion gap, and we worked pretty collaboratively with our colleagues in the legislature to deal with that. I certainly think that it's important for Massachusetts to get out of the business of using either stabilization fund or one-time revenue to fund its operating budget, because that is how you create a structural deficit. But it's probably not the kind of thing that's going to happen all at once. It's probably going to happen over time.
So if you did have to cut, where do you think you would have to look first, maybe, to try to make some cuts could avoid doing those one time?
I mean, I would expect that we would take the approach we typically take to this, the same one the legislature takes, which is you pretty much look at everything. And your goal is to do what you can to figure out how to solve the problem while doing as little damage as you possibly can to the stuff people care about. And that would certainly be the way we would approach it. I mean, if you look at the way we dealt with last year's, I would describe it as it was a scalpel approach. I think you're going to see us take that kind of approach again.
In terms of the MBTA, what a year that's been for you. Hello, welcome to winter. And the tea, Governor Baker.
Yeah, I'm kind of probably scarred for life on all that. Yeah.
Well, I'm wondering, though, you did appoint a fiscal control board, and it came
which we needed the legislature to agree to. And I think that fiscal and management control board has been a great thing. Every week they meet, all their conversations around logistics, planning, finance, operations, capital spending, it's all in the public domain. It creates all kinds of news, which may make us all a little uncomfortable, but the bottom line is, for the first time ever, the working activity of the MBTA is pretty transparent.
The board said a possible 10% fare increase next year. Is that likely, do you think?
Well, they've put pretty much everything on the table, and I think they should. There's a whole series of efficiency proposals they're going to be making. They made all very clear that the way the agency has managed both absenteeism and overtime needs a good, solid, hard look. I mean, when you have people who worked 4,000 hours last year and made over $300,000, it raises two really big questions. One's about productivity, and the other one's about safety.
Will there also be, you think, a focus on the passenger experience of the T? There's a lot of talk about, you know, how to rein in costs. What about the passenger experience of the T when you're saying, and we may have to increase fares?
The rider experience is a key part of all of these conversations. And I think what we need to do a far better job on, and Secretary Pollack and I have talked a lot about this, is communicating to people about what's actually happening. And this is going to be a big focus for the T this winter.
In terms of the Green Line extension, are you still committed to that, even though we now know that that's going way over budget?
The way I think about the Green Line, I think, is quite consistent with the way the folks on the Fiscal and Management Control Board think about it, which is, for the right price that's affordable, that doesn't take money away from the core system, I'd certainly be supportive, and I think the people on the Fiscal and Management Control Board would be.
Mm. Opioids. Been a huge issue for you. You have legislation pending that allows for doctors to involuntarily hold someone for 72 hours if they're dangerous.
Danger to themselves.
Or
right.
Others, right? What is a potential compromise on that if you still continue to get pushback from some members of the legislature, do you think?
Well, I think obviously there are a bunch of elements to that legislation that are controversial, but I would argue that if you really want to disrupt the incredibly horrible negative trend that's currently going on in this field, you have to do some disruptive things. I guess what I would say is the Mass Community Hospital Association, which represents all the community hospitals in Massachusetts, came out last week and supported our proposal because they believe that simply Narcanning, which is kind of the new buzzword, Narcanning people who show up in the ER and they're just sending them back out on the street to go get another fix, is a really bad way of dealing with this. I mean, I think the more the provider community thinks about this, the more comfortable they're going to get with it. Now, one of the things we need to do is work with them on the logistical issues around making sure that there is treatment capacity available for people if we're going to have clinical capability here.
But treatment capacity is the issue.
Yeah.
There's, what, 415 new treatment beds coming online in 2016? Is that right?
I think it'll be more than that. I mean, by the end of 16, it'll probably be about 1,000 beds since the start of 15, which is a lot. Now, some of those are continuing care beds. Some of them are residential beds. Some of them are straight detox. But there's a lot of capacity coming online. What we need to do is ensure that that capacity is geographically distributed so that every part of Massachusetts feels like they have the kind of capacity that they need to support participating in something like what we've proposed.
What has been keeping you up at night over the past year the most?
I worry a lot about DCF. The Bella Bond thing, that is about as big a tragedy as anything I think we face this year. I really do feel the agency and the state let her down by not having policies and procedures in place and by not being in a position to provide the guidance and the leadership to the people who are actually on the ground. A whole series of events took place that led to where that landed. I think we are heading in the right direction there, but I really wish we could just freeze frame everything at DCF, implement all the reforms that need to be implemented there, and then, you know, start again. We're going to move as fast as we can to implement a whole series of reforms that are desperately needed. But in the meantime, we have 47,000 kids and families who we need to deliver for. And I worry about the fact that we may not be able to move as quickly as we need to move. That said, I run into people who work for DCF all the time. And to a person, they tell me that this is as positive and hopeful as they felt about the future of the agency in a long time.
All right. Well, thanks so much for sitting down with us, and happy holidays.
Hey, same to you. And I hope everybody has a great new year.
Governor Charlie Baker speaking with us about his first year in office.